open meeting. I guess the first thing we need is approval of the previous meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Any public comment from anybody? Early voting election equipment update.
Yes, sir.
Debbie, you're up.
Chairman, I thank you very much for this opportunity, and I would like to let the committee know that we are moving forward with changing the process of how we will early vote. This election for the March primary will continue to be the electronic dial down click, but the November election, we will be on a ballot on demand, which is a paper ballot for early voting, which will be on the same level as election day. I know that that will restore some confidence with the voters to vote early on a paper ballot. I believe that this system currently that we're using is intimidating, it's confusing, it's expensive to maintain, very expensive to maintain, and it's difficult and nerve-wracking during election time to make sure that the platforms on early voting and election day for returns on election night speak to each other. That will be completely eliminated. We'll be using the same vendor and we'll be using the same software. So all of that stress and anxiety will disappear. I do want to make the committee aware that any expense from my budget, from the county clerk's office budget, is 100% reimbursable through HAVA grants. There is a little bit of urgency because the money is there waiting. So that's the reason I am asking it to move forward. That's why I am moving forward with this, so that we can get the ballot on demand, the Ballotar software system purchased, and get it reimbursed before summer.
This is the same system that you were talking about the last time
yes,
we met,
sir.
Wasn't it?
Yes, sir. There was some, we needed to wait until it was certified through the State Board of Election, which it was, but the reason we're not using it for March is because the certification and approval for it being refundable through HAVA didn't come in time for me to get started. So we are, yes, sir.
Debbie, you gave, I think you told us an estimate on how much money we were going to save by doing this when we were talking about this before. I don't remember
early
what it was.
Early voting right now cost us $87,000 a year in just the software maintenance agreement. That's not the expense of the programming, but that will disappear. That will not cost us.
We're going to save at least $87,000
yes,
a year.
Yes, sir. You will. I promise you that.
Yeah, well,
Expense of the licensing is like somewhere in the neighborhood, and please excuse me, I wanted to be more prepared.
No.
But it's going to cost us about $27,000 a year for 17 machines. And that's what we're talking about here, $87,000 a year for 17 early voting, or excuse me, that's what we will currently have in the future, 17 tabulators. That's the reason it's so much cheaper, the $27,000. Right now we had 5 voting machines in each poll, so we had somewhere around 156 early voting machines right now. It was costing us that kind of money. And please keep in mind that that equipment is 12 years old. It's, you know, I'm nervous that something was going to happen. Break down during early voting, and then we're a whole nother level of problems. But on a paper ballot, that won't happen. We won't have to worry about the power goes out. We can still vote. I can still print ballots because each of those printers are battery operated in the case of an emergency.
The paper ballot thing, as much as we like to think automation is here and you don't need paper ballots, voters still have more confidence because that's a paper ballot, and if there has to be a recount, you know, it's there.
You've got a record of it.
A computer that can have a virus or get rigged or anything like that.
Okay.
I forgot what you said as far as the last time, the dial one.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, that will just not be used at all. Will they just be obsolete? That's been 12, that's 12 years old?
Yes.
And so they'll just be...
I do have some counties who are interested in purchasing that at salvage value. So we will recoup some of the money through the salvage process of that equipment. Yes, ma'am.
And I forgot, because I vote the dial one, I forgot, like, when I go into the precinct, are they using the sleeve and everything? So that'll be, you know, like...
Yes, ma'am. In November, when you go to vote in March, if you early vote, you will still dial and hit your cast ballot.
Oh, okay.
But for November, you'll go into early vote, you'll show them your driver's license, they'll pull up and print you a paper ballot. You'll go to a booth, just like you do on election day, and vote your ballot and put it through a tabulator.
The advance that's taken place here is that the ballot on demand, and you know, with election day, every precinct has X number of ballots because not everybody votes the same ballots. You've got fire protection districts that are different, things like that. This system will print on demand the ballot with precisely who you need to vote on. Since we have early voting sites and anybody from any part of the county can go to any of those, you have to have that capability to vote all these different ballots. Now the ballot on demand will produce that. We didn't have that 10 years ago whenever this thing started. Now we do.
Yeah.
The equipment, you're going to see two invoices, one for the equipment and one for the ballot on demand, which I don't have yet. But the equipment invoice is $107,000. That's reimbursable through HAVA. The ballot on demand software will come this summer. That is somewhere around $125,000. But that's 100% reimbursable.
What is HAVA? What is that?
It's money's...
Help America Vote.
It was legislation that was passed back in 2005.
It was all after the aftermath of the Florida recount when everybody started getting on their toes on this stuff.
No hanging chads or anything. Yeah.
Do we need to approve this in this committee?
We don't have a resolution, basically give her an okay to go on with it. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
I can't find any reason not to. I won't disappoint you. I would never do anything to cause you to have any embarrassment. This is going to be a good thing. This is going to be a really good thing.
Good job.
The IT department's, you know, happy with this too. One of the problems with the HART system and our election day is that they're on two different IT platforms, which has the potential for conflicts election night. Now they're all on the same platform.
I just wanted to also give you all some dates that might be helpful as to where we are and some dates that are coming up with the March primary. We do have an election day ballot, and we are currently voting. I don't know if any of you realize that, but we started voting February 6th with absentee.
Wow.
Not been lined out the door, which is disappointing, but early voting starts March the 3rd through the 15th. We have 10 locations in the county, including SIUE. The law does require, if we have a sitting university in our county, that we do have a polling place there. The early voting hours, we are in the process of developing our voter guide for the inserts in the newspaper. I have the election judge training manual done and printed. We will recommission our election judges after the March primary. So that process is ready to go.
Debbie, what's this mean here? I ought to know. It says no in-person absentee during early voting.
Well, you don't need to come in and vote absentee.
Oh, if you come in, that's not if you take something from some person.
Right.
These people are
coming in to get registered and to vote.
Yeah.
And I'll still do that, like during grace period voting. That's But in person absentee, you don't need to come in and vote absentee when you have early voting.
No. That makes sense.
Are 17-year-olds voting?
17-year-olds are voting, and that's been very successful. Yes, ma'am. My 17-and-a-half-year-olds, I refer to them. But it's
to be 18 before the general
election. They have to be 18 on election day or before.
Right.
Yeah. So they're able to vote in the primary if they're going to be 18 before the general election. Is
correct.
That the rule?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. They need to get registered with me, and we are working with the local high schools. And the high schools, I attended one in Granite City last Wednesday, and 24 young people registered to vote. Edwardsville has about 24, 25 people that have registered to vote. And we've taken care of about that many that are coming into the county. So, I mean, it's not a huge number, but it is exciting.
Anybody else have any questions for Debbie on this?
I think that's very interesting. I like the fact we're saving money, and it's going to be better for people voting. I think the overall, I kind of like the dial thing, but there's a lot of people that I'm sure don't. So
I did it once. You'd let us practice.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
I felt like
it.
I needed a PhD in it. How many times did you have to come and correct me? What did I do wrong here?
Well, and it was the seniors that were having the most difficulty with it. It wasn't younger voters. It wasn't folks your age.
Well, when I get to be a senior, I might have a problem with that.
I'm already there, apparently.
No, I liked it too, Jack.
Yeah. Maybe it was the instructor.
No. I think I need help. I don't feel bad.
I thought it was pretty neat, but...
Okay. Well, nobody's got anything else on the early voting. Anybody have any new business they want to come to? Joe, you got anything?
Well, just there's not much on the legislative front. The in Springfield, the bills deadlines, I think, this week on one and next week on the other. It's getting close. So, you know, what happens is hundreds and hundreds of bills get filed, and there's a process where you have to sort through them, figure out which ones are viable, may have legs. A lot of them just get filed away. So that process will happen over the course of the next couple months, and we'll flag the ones of interest or urgency. I know we met with all the counties a couple weeks ago, and there's a couple priorities that we have this legislative session. One is the 911 surcharge legislation sunsets this year, and it needs to be renewed, so we're working that to make sure that we protect the fee basically that pays for our 911 call emergency program. There's an interest in rewriting the FOIA legislation to take away some of the burden and the abuse that takes place. So there's going to be work done on that. For example, there's one particular person in Madison County that FOIAs me on a regular basis for items that are on our web page, like copy of minutes from a committee meeting or an agenda for the committee meeting. Well, the person sitting at a computer sending me an email requesting this and can obtain those records. And the person's doing it just to abuse the system, basically. I mean, that costs the county. It's a burden on government. That's just one example. Every county has examples like that. So there's little tweaks that may be able to take place that'll take away some of the burden. Those are some of the ideas that hopefully will get worked into the law. I don't know, Debbie's clerks have any priorities this year?
Right now, the only piece of legislation that the county clerks are looking at deals with polling locations on election day, where they're absolutely moving us out of schools or churches or places that may serve alcohol. Madison County doesn't have any of those concerns right now, so we're good. There is one polling location that's located in a KC, Knights of Columbus facility, but the bar is totally shut down on that day. So I think the legislation's intent would be, even though the bar is closed, it could open. So we are looking at where we could move if this legislation would move forward. But right now, we don't have any of those issues.
I think Wood River's got one in a Masonic temple.
Does the Masonic temple serve alcohol, Chairman?
Yeah, I think they do. But they probably don't on election day.
Well, I know there's no alcohol.
It's a club like the Moose or something. But
I know there's no alcohol served on election day. So yeah. that we're positive.
I'm not a member, but I'm assuming they do.
Yeah. Well, people are concerned about church and state issues.
Oh, you know, because there's two churches in Highland.
But right now, we have no worries about our church locations for polling places. Okay. We've not had any problems with people campaigning or people being upset that we're located in a poll. We'll just have to watch and see where this legislation goes, but I'm confident if we do have to move out of some of those locations, we'll be able to find suitable, hopefully local precincts, because that is a problem for us.
We had a
precinct in Alton who a church notified us this year that they didn't want us anymore, and so we had to scramble to try and find another location, which was in another church, Saints Peter and Paul in Alton 4, I believe it is. But we're doing good. Our election judges are coming together. were assigning judges to polling places. I got some concerns with judges that are in Florida for the March primary. But we do have a reserve of qualified judges, and so we're placing them. Our judges briefing, our training starts early March. I'll make sure that they're refreshed and ready to go and handle any situation that may come up. Other than that, I was appointed to the advisory board for the State Board of Elections. At first I thought that was really an honor, and then I found out that the new guy always has to sit on that board. So I was excited, and then I was like, oh, okay. But it is a learning experience. We talk about a lot of issues that happen all over the state, so I'm proud to be on that board. It's a 2-year term.
Do you use less people for the primary election, judge-wise, have to use the same?
Yes, sir. We have our judges. Now, there are some polling places, because I just don't have enough judges, that may only have 4, but the law requires 5, and I get to use student judges this year.
For every precinct?
Yes.
So, I mean, places where you double the precincts up, you can't use less people. Because I have seen less people in some
yes,
of them,
sir.
But that was because
yes,
you couldn't find
somebody.
Yeah, I just
couldn't find anybody.
Can't do anything about that.
Of course, my experience has only been April, but we did have situations like that.
Yeah, well, it's hard to find them anymore.
You know,
it's a long day.
It's a long day, and it's a very long day.
And it used to be longer, before everything was kind of automated. I remember when they used to bring those things in here at 2:30 in the morning.
We don't
have much that.
We've put some things in place at the count centers to help the judges a little bit with accountability of the ballots. We've changed the balancing sheet to make it a little easier and flow a little easier for them, so that there's not a lot of confusion trying to close out the polls on election night. And it worked well in April. I hope it continues to work.
This is for me, my precinct. General election. I'm not sure. In St. Mary's, and you may not know this right offhand. Do we have 2 precincts voting there this time? Because they vote in that hall there, and it was pretty jammed up at that one.
Jack, I apologize. I don't know. If you give me the precinct numbers.
Mine's 16, and I don't remember what the other one was.
I do know we had situations in Alton voting at the Transformers Church that was very crowded, voting in hallways, and we moved them.
Yeah. I'll check with you in the office here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody, Joe, you, Mike, you got any? Jack?
Motion to adjourn.
Did you second it?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.